Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
How are you? You happy? Are you happy? Yes. Oh, it's nice. It's nice to interact with you. With you there, and good. And so, Theo. Right. It's good. I'd like to give each and every one of you a high five. Just take it. Just take that. Just take everyone high five. Everyone high five. That's good. Most of you did that. That's good. We like that. Keep up the interaction level, and you'll be all right, and we'll be all right, and we'll have a happy time tonight. So I am preaching tonight, which is why I'm standing up in front of you. It's good. And if you don't know who I am, my name's David, and I'm married to Lisa, who was standing up previously. And we are kind of now, we've become Northwest Pastors of Hope City Church. It sounds very, very grand, doesn't it? Sounds enormous and important. And so we've just taken on Liverpool, and from where Philip and Steve's from. And we're having a good time. So what? They're at Chorley. They did Chorley this morning. We're kind of mixing it up, team interacting together. But as well, me and Lisa are here on Sunday nights in Preston with you guys, kind of just pioneering here in this city. And it's good times. How many of you like Homes Under the Hammer? Anybody watch Homes Under the Hammer? It's a good link. Homes Under the Hammer. How many of you have never heard of Homes Under the Hammer? This is people with jobs or not Jeremy, Kyle. No. Homes Under the Hammer is it's a property program. There's a lot of property programs on TV at the moment. Homes Under the Hammer is one of them. And it seems to be one. I don't know why I like it. I don't know. I don't quite know why. I don't feel like I should. But when I watch it, it's like an hour long, but it flies by. Absolutely flies by. And it's people like they go and they go to auction, buy a house that's quite cheap, and then they go and they do it up, and you come back and find out how they've done, what they've done to it, and how much it costs now, how much they could get for it. And I think that's maybe the exciting bit. How much is it worth now? You've made how many thousands of pounds profit? I want to do this. You know, it's that kind of thing. You see these, so there's all these property programs about getting the dream home and getting your dream place. Is location, and that's a good one on Channel 4. And it's follow-up, relocation. So only need two on that. You need three locations, two relocations. Oh, it's good though. And there we go. Oh, look, somebody's prepared that for us. So that's the title for tonight. Relocation. So I've relocated quite a few times in my life. The first 24 years of my life, I lived in Nottingham. Two different homes over 24 years. The house that I grew up in, I spent most of my growing up in Nottingham. My mom still lives there. My mom lives there with my stepdad. They still live there. I'm like, that's incredible to have lived somewhere so long. Some of you, how many of you born and bred like in this area, kind of Chorley and Preston and stuff like that? See, not many of you. We relocate, don't we? We find ourselves from time to time. Life takes us to a different place, and we've just relocated our Sunday mornings to Liverpool, and we're loving that. Some moves are good moves, aren't they? Some moves feel like this is a good move. And these programs, they seem to be all about, you know, finding your dream home. And they've always got more money than me as a budget. I haven't had your budget. Yes, it's £1.5 million. I can't relate to this anymore. This really is just about dreaming, right? This is about finding your dream home, and you're just going to, that's dream. That's as far as it's going to go. And in Liverpool, we've just announced that we're moving in September Sunday mornings to the Epstein Theatre, right in the middle. It's good. Even in Preston, that gets a little kind of little, ooh. I'm using that in Liverpool. If ever I feel the service is kind of going on a down, or if my preach is kind of not going very well, I can just go, hey, guys, we're moving to the Epstein Theatre. And everyone goes, yeah. It just feels like the meeting goes back up a level. But in Lancashire, we want a relocation. We've got our building in Chorley is on sale right now, and it's basically subject to contract. So we have to put it in there. Subject to contract. It is sold, right? It's sold subject to contract, and we just need the guys that are buying it to get. They're applying for a grant for some funding to turn it into flats, and we're just waiting for this thing to go through, praying for it to go through, because we want Lancashire to have its location, to have its place, to have its, you know, inherited place within the land for us to grow. And when you move somewhere, you find that, gosh, your ability to influence changes. Now we're in Liverpool a lot of the time. We're making new friends. We're meeting new people. And when you relocate your life somewhere, it opens up, well, maybe new opportunities, maybe new influences, maybe there's a new environment to be in. And it says this. Let's have a look at Psalm 16. And just a quick look at this. Put this up in the NIV. This is what God says. It says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. We'll hold this verse up a minute. You've assigned me my portion and my cup. You've made my lot secure. God has assigned you. God's assigned you a location. You see, the portion they're talking about, the portion is like the portion of land, the portion of inheritance. God's assigned you a there's something allotted to you. There's something that's yours that God has assigned, and he has made it secure. He's assigned you your portion, your land, and also your cup. That's nice. So you get some land and a cup. Cup to go. At least you know you're going to get a drink, right? And this is good. You've assigned me. God, you've assigned me. The boundary lines of, yes, bring it back, bring it back. The boundary lines have fallen. The boundary lines have fallen for me. Say they've fallen for me. In pleasant places, surely I have a delightful inheritance. Just say delightful. Delightful. We don't use that word enough, do we? Delightful. The boundary lines, the place that you've assigned for me, God, is a pleasant place, and I have a delightful inheritance. That's good, good news. It's funny, though, that sometimes where you are doesn't feel so delightful. Does it? Sometimes your current location, your current situation, your current circumstances, you might go, God has assigned me a beautiful place. If the boundary lines have fallen, but they don't feel delightful. How's it feeling? How's your life? Delightful. See, delightful is a word that sounds like you've got to use it sarcastically. God, why isn't my current situation quite as pleasant as you've seen? Have you ever thought? Because I have. Have you ever been in a situation when you thought, I just want to get out. I just want to get out of here. Do you know? I'm in a situation. I want a relocation right now because I'm just feeling, I just want to get out. If I could just get out, that would be better. If I could just relocate myself out of this situation, then life would be brilliant. Some of you know that me and Lisa went to Bible college. Yes, we did. We got certificates. Yes. They're in a drawer somewhere. If you need to see them, if you're doubting our credentials, we have, yeah, Robin, we have certificates. And sometimes people have said to me, like, oh, it must have been so delightful being at Bible college. It must have been so, so delightful. You know, it's because you just get to get up, you get to pray, and everyone's reading their Bibles, and everyone's getting along, and it's all holy and lovely and fantastic. But I remember quite clearly being in an early morning. Well, it was 8 o'clock. It wasn't that early, to be fair. But like an early morning-ish prayer meeting, worship meeting, and everyone's got their hands in the air, and it's like, Jesus, Jesus. And you're looking like, Jesus, Jesus. But on the inside of my head, almost unbidden, I couldn't stop myself thinking this. I was planning how I could go buy a coach ticket and get out of there. I couldn't help it. I don't even know what the pressure thing was, what the stress thing was, but I was there in the meeting. I hadn't even planned how I was getting Lisa out of there. I was just planning, how am I? I've got enough money for at least one coach ticket. I could relocate my life right out of this situation. And so maybe that's you right now. You think, I just want to get out of here. But when Dave turns and looks the other way, I'm at the door. You just say that. It happens. But I found this. I've discovered this. That a geographical relocation of your life, it doesn't deal with the internal location of your heart. And that's the big issue. Because often when we're feeling like, I want to get out of here, I want to relocate, I want to just get me out of here, we're running away from ourselves. Because I've discovered this truth over the 38.9 years of my life so far. I've done a thorough experiment. And I have discovered that wherever I go, there I am. I've been to Africa. I got on a plane. I went to Africa. I got there. I was there. I've even been to Estonia. Has anyone been to Estonia? No. One day you might. But if you go there, you will find that you are there. You will look in the windows, the shops. You go, well, I am here. Wherever you go, there you are. You can't run away from yourself. But when you're trying to say, I want to get out of here. I want to get out of this situation. If only I was over here. If only I could change my current location. If only I could escape to the country. See, good. Life would be happier. I was up all night on this, I tell you. if I had a place in the sun, life would be rosier. That's what we think. If only I could change my location or my circumstance. If I could move to this place. If I could just change my job. If I could just, I don't know, change my marriage partner. Sometimes people think these things. If I could change my church. You know, if you're here today visiting from another church. If you are, you're looking around. It might work this time, to be fair. It might work. Well, I've done it before where I've preached and there's been a load of visitors, and in the message I said something about, be faithful where you are, God's planning you, da 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 da. And I spoke to them afterwards, and they were obviously in quite a rough situation. And then they said, oh yeah, but we've heard God today, and we need to go back into that situation. And you're like, yeah. And you can't just go, no, he hasn't. You want to, but no, you can't do that. But, you know, we think, so if I could just change, if I just get out of here and get into there, then everything will be better. But the thing is, wherever you go, there you are. It's not about your geographical relocation, but about the relocation that God wants to do in your spirit and in your heart, a repositioning of our faith and thinking that will change our perspective on our lives in the right here and the right now. We're going to stick in the book of Colossians for most of the next few minutes, okay? And draw some things out of this about how God is actually, there's a relocation of our lives that God does. And it's not geographical, it's spiritual, it's internal, it's truth. And I'm going to bring a few things of those to you tonight. Is that okay? Because I think if you can get God's relocation, then it will completely change the way you feel about where you're at. It might not change the situation or turn a bad situation into a good situation, but it will help you deal with your situation. It will help you see it differently. It will help you become an influence rather than your situation influencing you. But it says this in Colossians 1, verse 11 to 12. It says, we pray, this is Paul and his brothers, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. Can you imagine that? That's some kind of prayer, right? Some of us pray big prayers, some of us pray little prayers, but that's an incredible prayer to pray. That God, who's got quite a lot of glorious power, I think you might agree, will strengthen. You will be strengthened with all of it. All his glorious power. All his glorious power. So that you will have all the endurance and all the patience you need. I think that's incredible. Because tonight, some of us need some endurance. Some of us need some patience back in our lives. Some of us have got some things to endure. Some of us have got some things we need to be patient. Because things aren't quite working out how we wanted them to work out. Life's not looking exactly how we want it to be. But it says that God will strengthen you with all his glorious power. So you will have all the endurance and all the patience that you need. If you're lacking patience, if you're lacking the ability to go on, tonight God can strengthen you with all of his glorious power. May you be filled with joy, comma, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you. That's you. Turn to the person next to you and say, that is you. Poke him in the shoulder. Say, that's you. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. The location. The inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. It's not your time to quit. It's not your time to quit. It's not your time to give up. It's not. God will strengthen you. God will give you endurance. God is. I just think the relocation that God has done for us in Christ is incredible. He's achieved an incredible relocation for your life, which I'm going to describe a little bit for you, which is the key to unlocking righteousness, peace, and joy in your current situation. In your current situation. Because righteous peace and joy isn't found in moving, getting out of there, getting somewhere else. It's found in discovering the relocation that God has done for your life. Shall I describe that to you a little bit? Okay. Well, the first way that God's relocated your life already is that he has relocated you in his kingdom. He's relocated you in his kingdom. We'll read on in Colossians 1, 13 to 14. It says this. He has rescued us. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Dun, dun, dun. The kingdom of darkness. And transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. This is about a done deal. This is about something that's been accomplished and achieved already. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who has already purchased our freedom and who's already forgiven our sins. There's a move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son that he has for you, that he has for every human being. You don't have to sneak across the border. You know, I've got to sneak across the border. I've got to get out of the darkness, sneak across while there's no demons watching. Can I get in there? Can I get in? It's not. You don't have to sneak across the border out of your darkness into what God has for you, because he says he has rescued you. He has rescued you. He has paid in full. Whatever price it was to, whatever was needed to pay to get you out of that country of darkness and your history and your sin and your stuff, whatever that payment was required was paid in full by Jesus Christ. Paid in full for your personal freedom. You've got a new citizenship. I love this. The plane. The plane's landed. You know, it's taken off. It's left the darkness country. It has landed. The plane has landed. The doors have opened. You've stepped off the plane onto the tarmac. The angels have sung a welcome song for you. Yeah, they have. You are free and you are forgiven. And it's like one of those basic, kind of obvious basic truths. But I think we forget it. We don't live like it. We don't act like it. You've left that country and you're in a brand new country, a brand new citizenship. Your forgiveness and freedom doesn't depend on your own ability to repent, on your own ability to turn yourself around. Your forgiveness and freedom isn't, it's not self-improvement in any way. It's dependent on the blood that Jesus shed to pay for it. Your freedom is dependent on the blood that Jesus shed to pay for it. You're incredibly free. It's paid in full. You don't belong to your personal darkness anymore. I remember a time in my own life before I became a Christian, before I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And in the 6 months or so before, I just remember in that period of my life, I was ill, and a lot of you know the story and all that kind of stuff. But I was very ill, and I just had no hope. But all I can remember about that period of time is sitting in darkness in my bedroom, at my mom's house, sitting with emptying out the tablets and the pills and stuff that I was supposed to be taking, just emptying them into my hand and thinking, well, gosh, this isn't going well. I could end this. I'm just remembering. That's all I remember at that time. It's dark and heavy and hopeless. And there just seemed to be nobody around. I just seemed all my friends had gone to uni, just on my own, still going. It's like, well, I've been ill. And they were all like, oh, sorry, you're ill. And then they've all gone. And I'm still very poorly, you know. And just to remember the heaviness and the darkness of that time. But I'm like, now it's like a foreign, it's like a literally like a foreign land. God wants you to, your history, your darkness, your past, your stuff, your regrets, the things that have been done to you, the things that have been done by you, to be like a foreign land. You remember it. You're like, oh yeah, I remember that. But it's like you don't belong to it anymore. You've left it. It's a foreign land. You're in a new country. It's like that. It's that stark. It's that complete. It's that finished that it becomes a foreign land to you. I was thinking about this, you know, you're free, you're it's a new country and all this stuff. I was thinking, do you know what? If you were in North Korea and you escaped into South Korea, you'd want to escape into South Korea, wouldn't you? If you were in North Korea, if you got in there, you'd say, I'm free, wouldn't you? You'd say, I am free. I am free. But I discovered this, that freedom isn't do what you like whenever you feel like it. That's not freedom. That ain't freedom. Because I find, if someone's in North Korea, like, oh, terrible darkness. And in South Korea, hooray, I'm free. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want to. If you do that, you're going to end up in prison. if you just do whatever you want, whenever you feel like it, you'd lose your friends. You'd lose your job. You know, you might lose your marriage partner. You might lose, you could end up in prison, depending on what it is you want to do when you feel like it. So God sets us free, but I realize, well, God set it into a new kingdom where there's Jesus ruling. Jesus is the king. So it's not like, oh, I've gone into a new kingdom. I'll do what I like. Jesus sitting by and say, just do whatever you like. Do whatever you like. Just go for it. He doesn't do that. He's the king. He's the king, but there's a new rule in our lives. Romans 8, 1 to 2 says this, therefore there's no condemnation, thank God, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, this is an unusual word to throw in, right, when you're talking about your new life, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's quite unusual, right? It's a bit, because you go, oh, he's talking about law now, law. Because law is bad, law bad. Don't we say law is bad? Law is like binding you up. Law is you trying very hard to do something. So why should we mention when in the good side of things that the law of Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit has set you free from the law, from one law to another law, from one set of rules to another set of rules. The thing is, over here, there's a set of rules that you might try to obey but always fail. But here, there's a law, there's a new rule of Jesus Christ that comes into your life internally. There's a new boundary line. There's new rules, new laws, new way of living that God wants you to enter into, a whole new culture. There's a whole new culture that God wants you to get used to. In your new land, it's a new way of living. Because I find this, that God wants to influence the world in which we live. He wants to impact it, influence it. Mal Fletcher, he's a great speaker and writer. He says, can you just try and imagine what the city or the town, the place that you're in, would look like if people were living under the rule of God's kingdom? And the church and you and me are supposed to be prophetic of the kingdom of God. When Jesus, one day, we sung about it, Jesus one day comes back, everything's bound. But the church of God, you and me, we're here to be a prophetic example of what it looks like, what the city could look like. with God in charge. So I'm like, gosh, you set me free. But not set me free, just, oh, well, I'm forgiven now, and I'll just go and do whatever I like, whenever I like, and say, oh, I'll go to heaven one way when I die. God's got a bigger purpose for us than for to go to heaven when we die. He's got a town and a city and a place to influence through us. There's a new way of living that this world needs to see. Because you know that on its own, it's bound by darkness. I don't want to get heavy. Just say, Dave, don't get heavy. All right, I won't get heavy. Thanks. You've cut me off there. That's good. But here's the thing, right? I want you to be inspired not to live on the border. Don't live on the border between kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's son. Don't live, just so you can see over the fence. You know, it's all right. That was all right. Not bad. It wasn't that dark. You know, don't live on the border. I go on holiday to Nottingham sometimes, right? Not literally a holiday, like go and book a caravan and, you know, go and stay with my mum. That's basically it. And we sometimes go visit my mum in Nottingham, where I was brought up and where I used to live. And it's quite nice. But you don't want to go on holiday back to your darkness. Take a little holiday back to your history. Take a little darkness back to the, oh gosh, it was all so terrible, terrible, terrible back here. And some of us do that. We just go, oh yeah, but I've had such a terrible, terrible. Or we go, oh gosh, I used to do this, but I still kind of want to. So just go on holiday, have a little holiday. Woo! Right, sorry. Don't live on the borders. Because God's got a world he wants us to impact. Your darkness is a foreign land now. If you're a believer, that's true. Maybe for you tonight, it's time to relocate. It's time to really relocate into the kingdom of God, because God wants you to be free from your darkness, free from your sin, free from your habits that you can't break, that you're ashamed of, free from the stuff that was done to you, was said about you, the stuff that you did and was done to you. You're no longer to be defined by your darkness. You don't even have a passport to get back in, right? You're free in Christ. It's good news, isn't it? I'll give you this as well, because I'm generous, that God's also relocated you. Well, he's relocated you into his kingdom. He's relocated you into his presence. You've been relocated into the presence of God. Colossians 1, I'll read some of these verses for you. Are you still with me? Good. 19 to 22. It says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. Whoa. You could write a book on that. He made peace with everything. Say everything. In heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. Gets a bit heavy here. You were his enemies. Ooh. Separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now. I'm glad to get to the yet now. Can I start reading? You were God's enemies. Oh, no. But yet now, right? Yet now. He has. He's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you. I'm speaking to you tonight. He's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. God, those verses will just preach themselves, won't they? I don't have to do anything. You were once far away from God. I find far away from God is not far away for God. Far away from God is not far away for God. You know, I say, I'm so far away. I am so out of reach. God, I've been so bad. Far away from God is not far away for God. Because it's already all done. Everything that you need to come out of your stuff, it's already done. It's finished. It's completed. You just need to believe, put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you're praying, there you are, welcome. Into the kingdom, into the presence of God. Incredible. Jesus made the way for you to be a friend of God. When I think about being in the presence of God, it says you were once his enemies, but now you are his friend. In my prayers, come on right in. You don't want to hang out with people that you feel awkward. There's this awkward tension. This is a bit awkward. God's dealt with the awkward tension between you and God. There's no reason to come into church and feel slightly odd. I don't know if God's going to be happy with me today, because he's brought you into his presence. It's his stuff. It's his work. It's what he has done. He's made peace with everything, which means everyone, which means you. It means you are included. It means you're not excluded from what God has done and from what God wants to do now. You're not excluded. This is not some exclusive clique. This is inclusive. Incredible. I remember being in my hospital bed and having a reaction to a drug that I was taking. I wasn't taking it. I was given it. I was given it and I took it. It was prescription. Prescribed. It was prescriptioned. It was prescribed. And I was having a big reaction to this drug. Big reaction. Crazy big reaction to it. And I was there, and only a week before I'd said yes to Jesus Christ. I said, come on, God, yeah, I want to go for it. Let's do this Christian thing. And probably a better prayer than that I prayed. But anyway, so I'm there, and I have this massive reaction to this drug. And I'm in a room on my own, and the bed starts shaking, and I'm shaking. Well, it was me shaking the bed, you understand. And I'm trying to stop it. I'm trying to stop, but I can't. And my temperature's high, and I'm in pain. I'm like, ah, and the nurse comes in, and she says, oh, you're having a reaction. And I'm like, yes. And she says, well, we can't stop the drug, because if we stop the drug, we can't start it again because of what it is that we're giving you. So maybe it was the middle of the night. Just try and see it through. Try and see it out. And she goes out the room. I'm in the room on my own. And I'm like thinking, God, I just kind of did let's be the Christian thing. And now I'm here and I'm in pain and this is terrible and it's horrible. And I looked up at that moment and literally said out loud, God, are you really there for me now? That's my exact words. God, are you really there for me now? And at that very moment, just the reaction, it stopped. Stopped completely. I mean, stopped completely. Just the moment. And you think, oh, coincidence. But I'm like, well, that's a good coincidence. And the whole reaction just stopped. And I'm there and I'm like, I just start crying. And because, right, and I had no point of reference for this beforehand, but I was like, this is the presence of God in the room. I'd never had a time where I thought, well, this is the presence of God. And so I was used to, I had no idea. And I just sat there, I just lay there in tears, just like, God is in the room. And I remember God just laying right into my heart, Dave, trust me, you're going to be all right. I was like, whoa. From that moment, I knew I was going to get healed. I just believed it. I'd been told I was going to die, and I just believed it. And just, God, you've spoken. Wow, the presence of God in the room. But here's the truth of it, right? I walked out of the room. I didn't leave the presence of God behind. You know, it wasn't like the presence of God now lifts. Oh, well, God's gone now. You know, oh, we're feeling it tonight. Presence of God is here. It's not like you ever leave it. Because as he's brought you into his... He's brought you into his own presence, and you now, you're holy and blameless as you stand before him. The presence of God that's where you are. You're in the presence of God, whether you feel it or not. You don't have to go, God, today I don't feel like I'm worthy of being in your presence. He's like, look, I have made you worthy and you are in my presence. You're standing there right now. I love that. You're holy, you're blameless, you're faultless. Because it's about what Jesus has done. Why do you do it to yourself? Why do you do it to yourself? Why do I do it to me? Why do I do it to myself? God, I feel so guilty. Oh, I feel so bad. I'm so unworthy. Oh, I'm not quite up to it. They're better than me. Why do you do it? Why do you do it to yourself? Because you need a relocation of thinking. Because God's relocated you in to his presence. He says, you're holy. You're blameless. Look, here's the thing. That's your starting point. That's your starting point. It's not right, I'll get there. I'll get the holy, blameless, faultless thing one day. I'll get there. That's your starting point. That's your point A on your journey to point B of the fulfillment of everything God has got for you. Your point A is holy, blameless, faultless. If you start with holy, blameless, faultless, you're more likely to live holy, blameless, faultless than if you start slightly unworthy, a bit rubbish, not got to kind of work up to it, and then you'll just go, oh, I've failed again, I'm miserable. But if you start with holy, blameless, faultless, I am in the presence of God by His work, then you are much more likely to walk through that day. And when you do fail and you do trip up, you go, well, that's just not me. That's who I was. That's where I was. I don't belong there anymore. Now I'm in the kingdom of God. Now I'm in the presence of God. Now I am holy, blameless, faultless. I stand before Him without a single fault. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are faultless. Careful who you're saying that to, because they might take it the wrong way. I'll give you this last one, right? We'll pray in a minute. Is that okay? Can I give you one? Can I just give you one more quick? Just go on to one more quick. Right? That you've been relocated in His kingdom, relocated into His presence. You've been relocated into truth. Relocated out of lies into truth. It says this, just Colossians 1:23. It says, you must, say I must. I must. I mean, that means this is essential for living. It's essential for your success. This is essential for your future. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Don't drift away. The good news has been preached all over the world, and Paul have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. You see, God relocates you from lies into truth. Truth that you got to stand in. Because I find that there's something about you that you can drift back to the lie. You can have a great meeting. You can have a great, yeah, God said something to me. And you can drift. It doesn't happen like, well, I'm really believing today. I'm really full of faith. And then the next day, no, I don't believe it anymore. You drift. You find that you drift away. You go, oh, I'm so assured. I'm up for it. Let's do this church thing. Let's take the nation. Come on. And you drift away as lies get into your thinking. You let them get in there. But you've been relocated into truth. Relocate yourself. Tonight, if you believe in some lies, relocate yourself into truth. Stand firm in it. You might believe the lie that you're a failure. But the truth is you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You might believe the lie that you'll amount to nothing. But my Bible says about you personally that God has good works prepared in advance that you should walk in them. That's the truth. You'll never amount to nothing. No. There's good works prepared in advance that you would walk in them. You might believe the lie that you is ugly. Don't know why I had to say it like that, I just did. Look in the mirror, I think I'm ugly. I heard this saying, that today, which is a kind of first hand account back to me, that teenage girls are in a school afraid to go to school without their makeup on, because if they go without their makeup on, then people will take the rip out of them. I'm like, that's crazy. There's some lies, some lying going on here. Maybe that's you. You think, I'm just not attractive. I look in the mirror and I think, I just see all this. I see these things are not quite right. Nothing. It's not all perfect. It's not all straight. It's not all. But my Bible says that you personally, the truth is that you personally are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I love that. I think Psalm 139 or 145, I think it's 139. It says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. It actually says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a confession. Stop believing the lie. I am ugly. I have some slight, my nose is slightly that way. There's something just not right. I'm not as good looking. I'm not as attractive. No one's going to like me. No one's going to love me. Don't believe that. Start saying, no, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fine. I am fine. Because he goes on, he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. All your works are marvelous. And I know it well. I mean, you say, don't be so proud. Don't be proud. Be a little bit proud of the incredible work that God has done in creating you to be you the way you are. I'm not saying don't wear makeup. But gosh, what a lie. What a lie. It's a lie that, is that a picture of me? He said, Dave, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Ka-snap. Thanks, Clive. Look forward to seeing that on Instagram later. No, sorry. I will do, though. No, take as many as you like. There's a lie, right? Some of you might be believing the lie that you cannot cope. You cannot cope. That's why you're thinking, yeah, I've got to relocate. Out of here. I've got to get out of this situation. I just can't do another day of it. It's a lie that you cannot cope. But Paul said this, and it's quite incredible. In Philippians 4:11-13, he says, I've learned, halfway through verse 11, he says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. That's an incredible lesson to learn. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. It takes us back round to what we started with in Colossians. God wants to strengthen you. You say, I can't cope. That's a lie. The truth is, you can do it all through Christ who strengthens you, not in your efforts, not in your in you just trying harder, but God has strength for you. Incredible strength. It's all His glorious power. He'll use it to strengthen you, to see it through, so that the circumstances and situations don't become the things that influence you, but you begin to influence your world in the midst of your circumstance and situation. Stand firm. Just turn to the person next to you and say, stand firm. Because maybe you're drifting. Maybe you're drifting. Maybe you've had a little drifty time. Right? You've been... Don't go wibbly wobbly. I went wibbly wobbly yesterday. Oh, I did. Now get out. We all went on these things, these Segway things. They've got big wheels on the side. You stand on them. I don't know if you've heard of them. You stand like that, look a bit stupid. You push, well, you kind of lean forward slightly, and then you go quite fast. I mean, it's not super fast. It's like 12 miles an hour, but 12 miles an hour is fast when you're just standing on a platform. It's going along. Stand firm. They said, put your feet in place. Stand firm. Stand there. Just keep yourself going. I decide, I don't know. I'll go wibbly wobbly. I'm quite used to this. It's cool. Let's go wibbly wobbly. Let's just do it. And it was on a kind of a bit of a rough bit of ground, so I'm wibbly wobbly and just fell off. So I was like, oh, that's why stand firm. That's why don't go wibbly wobbly. You fall off. I fell off, and there was momentum. There was good momentum. I was going pretty fast at that time, and it was a bit of a blur. But I know the machine kind of went that way. I went that way. I thought I'd landed on my feet. But I hadn't, no, because I was going forwards quite fast already. So I kind of rolled. I was like stuntman Dave. I rolled. I couldn't stop myself until I just came to a crash on my back in the mud. And to be fair, I was quite a man about it. I got back up, got back on the thing. I did it. Like, I'm a man. Went home, cried. I didn't. If only I've stood firm. If I'd stood firm, I wouldn't have a pain in my leg. If only I stood firm, I wouldn't have fallen off and rolled down the hill. If only you stand firm, you're not going to suffer the injuries. There's a reason God says stand firm in the truth. Because lies will only, they'll only harm you, only hamper you, only hold you back, only throw you to the ground, only cause you to break your leg or whatever. Stand firm in truth. You've been relocated in His kingdom, in His presence, and into truth. We need to pray right now. I just thought this. You know, the reason we watch these programs about new homes is because we say, oh, I want a better life. Wouldn't it be nice? You know, a better life and a better place and a better home and had a bit more money. Bigger lounge, bigger car. We want a better life. But here's the crazy thing. I'll read you the scripture, right? And we'll end with this. John 14:23. Jesus says, all who love me will do what I say. That's interesting in light of what we said about, you know what, there's a new rule, there's a new law, there's a new life, there's a new culture in the kingdom of God. But it's an overflow. I think it's all who love me. The overflow is that we just live this thing because God's at work in us. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. I don't know if in heaven they've got TV. For heaven and TV, there's relocation. Heaven edition. Father, Son, Holy Spirit sitting down. God, it's been a busy day. Answered a lot of prayers. What's on? Oh, it's relocation. Oh, I love that. And it's not like it's just a couple of angels showing, going around homes. It's a couple of angels just going around lives. It's around people saying, this person is awesome. This person is great. Look at them. Look at what you could do in their life. Look at what could be achieved here. Look at what's... And the Father and the Son of God, we could make our home. We can make our home there. You're on it. And it's Clive. We'll do Clive. Oh, this is Clive. Go, oh, yeah. It's Clive. Look what you could do. Look what you could do with this. Look at this. You've got the framework. You've got the stuff. Look what you could do with this. If you move in here, the incredible things that you could do and build and achieve... And the Father said, "I said, we could move in. We could move in there." He says, "The Father will make His home with you. God will use your life in your world to display the best life that there can possibly be for people, because He's at work doing something, moving in. God's moved in. He's relocated into your life to do something incredible, to build something that's amazing, that people will look at and go, there's something, I want what you have. I want your kind of life. Gosh, I don't need the big house. I don't need to relocate over there. I need what you have." Come on, let's just pray. Let's close our eyes. Why don't we just stand? Why don't we all just stand? Let's do this. We'll do this. We'll just take a couple of minutes and we'll finish and we'll have coffee and be nice. Just close your eyes right now. Because some of us, we have been thinking, I want to relocate out of my situation, out of my circumstances. You maybe not have thought how you can do that, but you've been wishing that you could. You've been feeling like you wish you could give up. You wish you could just get out of there. Thinking, maybe I'll quit this job, maybe I'll quit this situation, maybe I'll quit this relationship. But wherever you go, there you are. It's a relocation of what God wants to do right within you. It's a revelation of the relocation that God has done. You're in my kingdom, you're forgiven, you're blameless, you're free, you're in my presence, you're welcome, you're my friend, you're not my enemy. If I think sometimes if we just get hold of the truth, if we relocate our lives into truth, where we said, I can't cope, but God says, no, you can do all things through Christ, you strengthen. This is a day to relocate your life. Maybe you've been believing a lie about yourself. You've been believing about that your history is what defines you, that you've had such a bad time of it, that it's just going to hold you back forever. It's going to define you. But God says, no, you don't belong to that anymore. Maybe you've been believing a lie that you are ugly, that you are unattractive. Maybe you've believed a lie that you will accomplish nothing and achieve nothing. It will always be other people doing better. But that is a lie, because God has things He has planned and prepared for you. So if either of those things apply to you tonight, maybe you think, I just feel like quitting, I feel like relocating. Maybe you've literally thought about it. Or if you know, I've been believing some lies about myself, I've not been believing really what is true. Why don't you just lift your hands right now? Doesn't matter if that just relates to you in some way. It's great. His hands going up. It's awesome. I think more of us. Gosh, because I ain't completely immune. Father God, will you just bring a revelation of truth right now? Holy Spirit, just bring a revelation. All these guys got their hands up, and just a revelation of truth right now. God, that we go from here with something sealed in our heart, something about the truth of what you've done for us, of who we really are, of how you have relocated our lives out of darkness, that we're no longer going to be held back by those things. We're no longer to be defined by those things that were said to us and done to us and done by us. It's not going to limit us anymore. It does not limit us, because we had those experiences, does not limit what God can do through your life. In fact, sometimes because you've had it so bad, or you've been so bad, God does incredible things through your life as a result. He says, look at the grace of God. The one who's had so much tough stuff and been so bad could turn around and go on to do incredible things. Father, for everyone who's believed a lie about themselves, believed that they were worthless, believed that they were unattractive, unwanted and unneeded, Father, will you just minister right now? Why don't we all lift our hands right now? Because I just think the Holy Spirit wants to minister to every single one of you. Holy Spirit, just minister to us right now. Just affirm your love for us in our hearts. Affirm who we are. Affirm our standing before you. May we gain a new understanding of our location, our starting point, our beginning point of holiness and blameless and without fault before you. Just reaffirm that you make your home with us, Holy God. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.